The Rural Housing Incentive District was passed by the City of Hays, but there are still some hurdles. Doug Williams, Executive Director of Grow Hays, stops by to talk about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast. Well, we've got some really cool stuff we want to hit on today. You were at the City Commission meeting last night, and they passed the RHID. You want to tell us a little bit about what happens next? Maybe first we recap what the RHID is.
Well, the RHID is the Rural Housing Incentive District, and this journey started back in, I think, February, when we, Heart of America Development Corporation, located a piece of land on the east side of Hays. It's just to the east of the Technical College on Wheatland, and there's 75 lots, and we went forward with the idea that we would do it using a Rural Housing Incentive District method of development, which allows a developer to recover all the costs of development as opposed to having to have special assessments or charge a lot more for the lots. And so the area was already platted, and so we, Heart of America, purchased that property and has been going through the process. And as I said, it started in February. It kind of culminated last night with the approval of the ordinance and the approval of the Rural Housing Incentive District. There is a 30-day period now where the school district and the county can veto the RHID, but we're hoping that's not going to be a problem. So on July 25th, it should be done and over with and ready to start putting in streets and utilities and curb and gutter and water and sidewalks and all kinds of things, so people can start getting, some builders can start building some homes out there.
Yeah, love that. So the city passed it. You mentioned the 30-day veto period. So the county and the school board have that because they're separate tax agencies here in the area that would be impacted by that. Basically, they'd be losing the tax revenue off of the existing assessment of the land until the developer recoups all that cost. Do you see any concerns there? You spoke to the school board, I know, on Monday, because I was there. They seemed pretty receptive, I thought, right?
Yes, I think they were. I think everybody is very aware that Hays has a significant shortage of housing, and that this development offers an opportunity to add a lot of new inventory to the market in a price range that's very much needed, and will also free up inventory from people who may move up into this particular neighborhood and have to sell what they have, or people who will perhaps be downsizing, along with the ability to attract some people from outside the community. One of the problems that employers consistently tell us is that they hire somebody or they get somebody they're wanting to hire, they come to town, they look around and they can't find housing that they feel works for them in an affordable range for them, and they don't come to town. So it makes it difficult for employers to attract employees. So we believe that adding ultimately 75 new homes to the marketplace will be a significant positive thing for our housing market and give people a lot more choices than they currently have, because there haven't been any homes. They're going to be in the 175 to 225 range initially. You know, that may not be the case 5 years from now when homes are still going up there, but they're going to be initially in that 175 to 225 range for new homes, and there haven't been any new homes in that price range for a long, long time in our community.
Yeah, and even I think some of the school board members on Monday had even kind of pointed out to that as well, that they have trouble recruiting teachers because there's no place for them to live.
Housing is just a consistent challenge in Ellis County, and this is going to be something that can help that situation quite a bit. And you were right. The reason the school board and the county commissioners have the veto right is because they are foregoing property tax revenue on that property until the developer recovers his costs. So they need to sign off as well. But as the school board and the superintendent I've talked to on several occasions, they feel that they will benefit much more by the potential increase in student population by people living in this development than they would ever benefit from property taxes that they might get if it was developed without an RHID. And the problem is it wouldn't be developed without an RHID. The development costs are just too high, and that's why we need to use some tools like this to promote development in our community. Other communities have done a lot of it. I think Dodge City has done about 15 developments with RHID, an RHID structure, and I know Garden City has used it a lot. Hayes never has, so we need to. It's good that we're doing this, and I think it's going to be a real impact maker in our community.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and there was a couple of things that you had said on Monday that I thought was interesting. Even as much as we've talked about this, maybe I didn't really realize it, that Heart of America, first off, is a not-for-profit. They took on this challenge because their commercial developments don't have the people to support them. It's kind of what you were getting at, if I read it correctly, right?
Well, that's correct. Heart of America has traditionally been a commercial industrial type developer. They developed the industrial park out by the airport where Nextech Wireless and Sizewise and all those people are out there. They developed all that ground. They also own the ground and have developed the area where Glassman Climate Control and the Army Reserve Center is on Commerce Parkway. And they have some additional lots out there that they're developing. But they realized that they're not going to sell any, we're not going to have any commercial development if we don't have adequate housing. So they were willing to step up and make this happen. It wouldn't happen without them. And yes, they are a not-for-profit. They're not in this to make a lot of money. They're in this to promote Hayes and Ellis County. And so we're fortunate to have an organization like that who had the resources to do this and was willing to go through the process and basically wait 25 years to get their money back. And that's, you know, you'll still be around, James, but I probably won't be around in 25 years to see this to the end. So
I'm sure that's not true. You're in better shape than I am, Doug. Let's not override or, you know, think the age thing's going to get in the way.
Okay. Well, in any case, Heart of America really stepped up, and it's a real positive thing that they've done this.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I thought that was interesting, because I didn't realize that. And the other piece of this that I think you'd kind of clarified that maybe it kind of helped me to visualize this was the actual amount of tax revenue being generated on that parcel is so low. I mean, I'll kind of let you explain it, but they're not really losing anything, the city or the school board or the county right now, by giving up the tax revenue on that land, right?
No, they're not. The way this works, currently the property taxes on that development or that area, all those lots are probably $150 a year, somewhere in that range. What an RHID allows a developer to do is to capture the majority of the incremental tax revenue. And so as an example, when there's 75 homes on there, and I'm just going to use $2,000 per home for simple math, that gets $150,000 a year in tax revenue coming in. So the developer is able to capture the difference between $150 and $150,000 per year until they've recouped the cost of the streets and the sewer and the water and all the things that go into a development, estimated to be around $3.2 million or $3.5 million is what it's going to cost to do it. So you're right. The school district, the county, and the city, they don't lose anything they currently have because this property has been platted since 1999 and nothing has happened on it. Without a tool like an RHID, it's likely that 20 years from now it'll be sitting there in the same state that it is, just a wheat field, as opposed to by using a tool like this, you can get some development going, provide jobs for the people who are building the homes, provide new housing for the people who are going to live there, and ultimately these all will go on the tax rolls and produce tax revenue for the school district, county, and the city. Whereas if this type of tool was not used, they wouldn't.
Yeah, this sounds like a win-win-win to me. Everybody makes out on this deal.
That's my opinion as well. I just don't see how there are any losers in this. The only argument anybody could make would be Well, that'll develop without an RHID, and I would be happy to have that discussion. I think history shows us that if it's been sitting there for 20 years and nothing's happened, there's a good chance that it's going to sit there for a long time with nothing else without doing something creative and using some other tool to do this development.
Yeah. Well, awesome. We've got something else we want to hit on, and it's some, platting or additions. The city's taken over some land. I'll just kind of let you explain what's going on there.
Well, last night they also approved the final plat for the Abel Edition, A-B-E-L, and that is the site of the former Ambassador Inn, long ago the Holiday Inn. Most people know where it's at. They tore it down, obviously, on North Vine here in 2017 or whenever it was. And that has now been – it had never been platted before. It was all just one big tract that the hotel sat on. But with the addition of the roundabouts and 37th Street going through, they went ahead and they platted it into four lots. And now that it has four lots on it and this additional roundabout development and street improvements are taking place, it opens the opportunity to sell those lots off to potential developers or potential business owners to put up whatever they may put up. It could be restaurants, it could be hotel, whatever the case might be. But that was done last night as well. And then there was also a tract that's behind Hobby Lobby at 33rd and Sherman that was annexed into the city last night. That has never been annexed into the city. It's a pretty large tract there, just a wheat field right now, but whatever's on it. That was annexed into the city, and I believe the anticipation, according to the Jesse Rohr, who was doing the presentation, there is some talk that there would be some additional multifamily rezoning there for some additional development of some multifamily property as well, perhaps similar to what exists up there now, the Ellis Estates, that type of a development. So some things going on there as well.
That's good to hear. The more, I think, housing we have available, the more people can actually live here and make our town even better.
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the areas that we have identified, and we've talked about it before, we believe we offer a lot to retirees. And in particular, given the events of the day with coronavirus and social unrest, rural America looks better and better all the time. And the fact that we have an outstanding healthcare system, that we have, activities, and we have lots of things. We have transportation available, whether it be airport or interstate. We're an attractive option for retirees. The missing piece is we need a little more housing that is retiree-specific, designed for them. And whether it be rental property or new construction, we believe that if we offer some additional housing options, we'll be able to attract some additional retirees. And those are good citizens. They typically have good disposable income. They don't require a lot of, they don't bring with them a lot of problems and things that maybe some other types of sets of people coming into the community might have. And so we're very focused on that.
Yeah, excellent. As I was speaking to folks out further west, I think that they like that as an option because currently, in these really small towns, when folks get to that retirement age, they don't have the services in those little towns to be able to stay there. So they like to be able to stay as close as they can. So if Hays can absorb them, I think that's a win-win for the whole of Northwest Kansas.
Well, we agree. I mean, that's one of the things that we believe that these people, they're not going to probably stay in the small towns. They're going to go where they have access to health care. And we have that here, but if we don't have the housing piece, they may end up in Salina, Wichita, Kansas City, or someplace else. So we want to make sure we have options for them. And I get calls all the time from people who are wanting to move back here because maybe they have kids here or whatever the case might be. And they have indicated that their biggest challenge is finding housing that's suitable for them. Not necessarily always affordability-wise, but just the design and that kind of thing for a home to be more specific to retirees. And so the development of some housing in that price range, not only price range, but that type of housing, will put us in a good position for those people to not drive by, but to actually move here and locate here.
Excellent. The bigger, the better, right? The more we can get in, the better our economy is going to be, the better it is for the region and retail and everything else, right?
Well, certainly, we want to promote growth and steady, consistent growth and the right type of growth. And the things we've talked about this morning all would be along those lines.
Perfect. Well, Doug, we are, we're virtually out of time here, but anything else you want to squeak in before we go?
Well, we've talked about it before, but I just wanted to mention again, we have had another loan application for our Restart Kansas funds, but we still have some funds available. And so any businesses that have been harmed by the COVID virus are eligible for these loan funds. It's a loan at 2% interest for 48 months with a four-month deferral. So if any business owners out there are listening and they need a little help getting over the hump here that they've faced with this virus situation, give us a call and we can talk about how we might be able to help in that regard.